Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Man, praise the Lord. Last time my mic didn't work. It's working now. Thank you, guys. Give God some praise. Yes. Let's just pray. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. I know you already spoke to all of us through worship, God. God, speak to us through your word and give us the faith to believe in what your word says. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Man, it's so good to see you guys. Who's ready for the new year? Anybody? 2024? I mean, I'm a goal setter. I never keep most of them, but a few goals that I do keep. And I encourage you, put goals to get closer to God. Get goals, spiritual goals that say, you know what, God, maybe I can't wait till this year's over. Some of us just can't wait. Some of us had a good year. But majority of people that I'm talking to, they're ready for 2024. Let it be a year of a new start in your walk with God. Make some commitments and say, you know, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. God, I'm going to make a full commitment to read your word. I'm going to make a commitment to have a prayer life, God, not just crying out to you when everything goes wrong. God, I'm going to make a commitment, God, to spend time with you in worship. God, I'm going to make a commitment, God, that these hands and feet, they're not mine no more, Lord. I'm going to give them to you. And God's going to honor that. God will honor that. Don't let anybody else tell you different. It's okay to set goals. It's okay to say, you know what, God, I'm coming into 2024, and I am going to get closer to you, Lord. And I promise you, God will meet you there. Well, we've been in Ephesians, verse by verse in Ephesians. Today we're going to be in Ephesians. A lot to go over, and I really do pray that God speaks to you. We're going to look at the first Bible verse, Ephesians 5, verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6. And I'm going to read this. Listen to this. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. We're going to stay on that Bible verse for a moment. We're going to look at a couple words, deceive and empty words. I don't know if you've ever been deceived before. Let me tell you why I know most of us have. Before you were born again, before you gave your life to Jesus, I promise you, you were being deceived. That's why you didn't get saved yet. We were getting deceived of believing something that was a lie. And then finally, the Holy Spirit somehow, some way, wherever you were at, if it was at a church service or a jail cell, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit started drawing you to share with you truth. Because we've been deceived so long. I remember, this is still embarrassing to me. I remember this one time, this gentleman, he told me to buy some of this, it was called denarii. It was some overseas money that at one time, it was worth $1 million, but it lost its value and it was worth nothing. And he goes, it's worth $1,000, Al. He goes, if you buy it now, I'm telling you, it should go up in value any week. Now, it sounded so good. I'm like, man, I have $1,000. And you know, I bought it. And every day I would call him. I would bug him. Am I a millionaire yet? Did the value go up? And finally, it came to my senses and says, man, was I being deceived by empty words. I was being deceived. And many of us today, the walk with God, you'd be surprised how we get deceived by words that mean absolutely nothing. And we're going to look at that. And like I said, Paul says that no one, he's teaching the Ephesian church how to walk with Jesus. And he says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Let's look at the word. Let's look at the definition of deceive. Let's look at that. To believe something that is not true. Some of you right now go, oh, Lord, I've been getting deceived. To believe something that is not true, that has no value in it. And look at the definition of empty words. I put it down right here. You listen to this. Words that lack substance, words with no wisdom and truth, words with no purpose, no meaning, no foundation, and no life. So Paul's telling them, he's saying, listen, let no one pretty much lie to you. There's a lot of people that just like to lie. And at that moment in time, here's what was happening. There was a lot of false preachers and teachers deceiving the church of Ephesus. And guess what? They just would believe him. It's a preacher. I'm supposed to believe in him, right? It's a teacher. It's somebody I've been to church with. I went to Bible study with. I'm supposed to believe in him, right, everybody? Well, the Bible does teach us that he gives us discernment, too. The Bible does teach us to test the spirits. Because you know what happens sometimes? We get saved and we get born again and we become vulnerable. We feel like we believe in everybody now for some reason. We went from believing in no one and not trusting no one, and we come to Jesus. And we feel, I think it's a lie from the enemy. We feel that now, I got to believe in everybody. I got to trust everybody. I got to let everyone into my life. And then guess what happens? Church hurt, right? Relationship hurt. I'm mad at my pastor hurt. Because you allowed empty words, words that have no meaning, absolutely no purpose. And I'm going to explain to you words that do have meaning and do have purpose. It's like the word love. That to some of us, that word is empty to most of us from some people, right? I love you, but we don't see the work behind that love. And what happens is we start getting deceived so much, we really start believing in areas that take us away from God. So Paul, he's telling them, listen to me. Don't let no one, and you know what no one means? It means no one, absolutely no one deceive you. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter how charismatic they are. Doesn't matter how amazing of a speaker they are. You better make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. He's saying it. He goes, what does the Bible say? Does the Word of God say that? And listen to this. I want us to look at a Bible verse. It's Matthew 12, 33 through 37. This is Jesus talking. Now, who he is talking to is Pharisees. Pharisee was a religious leader, religious people that they spoke empty words all the time. They didn't practice what they preached, let me just tell you that. They were consistently just speaking emptiness. And listen what Jesus says. He goes, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brought a vipers. How can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Catch that verse. And listen to what he says. A good man brings good things out of good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for what? Every empty word they have spoken. Next verse. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Doesn't that sound like that's a very important thing to stop and go, hold up now. I think I could be getting deceived in some areas in my walk with God. Now, could that be why I'm not bearing fruit? Could that be why what Jesus was telling them? He goes, a good tree will bear good fruits. But I wrote this down. I want you guys to catch this. Good fruits come from good roots. If you're not rooting in the things of God, I promise you, you're not going to see good fruits coming from that tree in your life. Let me say that again. Good fruits come from good roots. And that's why I love worship. Worship gives us a time to say to the Lord, don't take this bottle from me. Take what's rooted in me to put this bottle down. Lord, don't take this anxiety and depression from me, Lord. Take what's rooted that's causing this anxiety and depression from me, Lord. So he's telling you, good trees bear good fruit. And I looked up something, what else creates good fruit in a tree? The atmosphere. The atmosphere, the weather, the temperature, the soil. And God is speaking to some of us today. He says, you've been deceived. I want to live inside of you. I want to take those burdens. I want to take those things that are rooted inside of you that's causing the issues of the problems that you have so you can bear good fruits, so you can be a light to hurting, broken people. Give God some praise. That's what God wants to do. Now we look at a verse, Proverbs 18:21, and it makes a little bit more sense to us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. Listen to this. Death, guess what death is? Empty words. Words with no meaning. Words with no purpose. Words with no foundation. Words with no life. Words with no eternity. Words that they just, it might even sound good, but at the end comes destruction. Then I love what he says, but guess what else can come out of that tongue? Tongues of life. Tongues of life. Probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was speaking, Paul was talking about how you speak life, how you encourage and you build and you motivate and you lift up people. And the only way you can have a tongue like that is when you're connected to Jesus. Because we can try all we want. But when you're connected to the vine, guess what starts coming out of your mouth? Life. Not empty words. And not only is Paul telling us, let no one deceive you with empty words. Guess what? Some of us are speaking empty words and empty promises to people too. Why? Because like he said, because we're not bearing fruit from Jesus. And he makes that clear. I'll put right here in Ephesians. The church was being deceived on a few things. Not only of just words of encouragement, they were being deceived by doctrines. They were being deceived by teachers like that were telling us about Jesus. And I hear it all the time. I'll put a few things right here, an example of empty word teaching. Jesus does not heal today. I hear that all the time. Isn't that kind of hopeless to a believer? Would that not be hope if you walked in here today and heard these songs that were singing about a peace of mind, but somebody was giving you empty words that God don't heal? Wouldn't that just be so hopeless? But let me encourage somebody today. Let me share you what the Bible says, words of life says, that he does heal, that he is a healer. Look at this verse, 1 Peter 2:24. Listen to this. This is Jesus. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, though, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Listen to this. By his wounds, you have been what? You have been healed. You have been healed. Healed of what? Healed of a broken heart. He can heal you from emotional wounds. He can heal you spiritually. He can heal you physically. He can heal you from hopelessness. He can heal you from your sins. That's words of life. So he does heal. So when we do come into this service and we're worshiping, you have a God that can heal you. You have a God that can set you free. You have a God that you can walk out of here, regardless what's going on in your life, that you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Give God some praise, because that is the God that you serve. That is the God of the Bible. Here's another one. Listen to this. That there are many other ways to heaven. Bless all those people's hearts, because there's not. it seems like it would be easy, but you know what? That would put you in a place of living any way you want. Jesus, here's life speaking. Jesus makes it clear that he's the only way to heaven. That he's the only way to the Father. There's absolutely no other way. That gives us hope when we serve Jesus. Now we ain't all over the place serving all kinds of different gods. We know that we have a King of Kings, that we have a Lord that died on a cross for us, that we can go to him for salvation. What about this one I put here? Just be a good person. Well, the Bible makes it clear we're not that good. He says our righteousness is as filthy rags, but that's okay though. Because the Bible says this, you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He gives us hope. Regardless of how unrighteous we are, how we've been deceived, and how empty words has been in our life, he says, no, but you can be born again. You can come to me broken. You can come to me with empty words within your heart. You can come to me with pain, and I will fill you with my Holy Spirit, and you'll be born again. That's words of life. That is words of life. Put right here. God don't love us. I hear that all the time. If he is a loving God, why? No, let me explain to you. The famous verse that means a lot on the In-N-Out cup, John 3:16. Let me read it to you. Sometimes we just read this verse just to memorize it. No, you need to understand this verse. I don't know how many people have died for you on a cross. Not for me, none. None of my homies died for me, but Jesus did. He says, for God so loved the what? The world. What's the world? It's everybody. It's all of mankind in the world. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's speaking life. Yeah. Empty words tells us that God don't love you. When he reminds us how much he loves us. See, he could have just said, I love you. No, he goes, no, I'm going to show you that I love you. And I'm going to send the most valuable thing to me, my only son, to die on a cross for you. I'm going to show you how much he loves you. You know another thing of empty words that the world kind of teaches us? It's okay to worry. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay to have anxiety. It's okay to stress out. But guess, let me tell you what God says. He says, no, do not worry about nothing. He said he don't even give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us a power, love, and a sound mind. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication. That's words of life. Would you not be hopeless walking in here knowing that God would say, worry about everything, have anxiety about everything? No, he gives you verses that when you walk in here, you can walk out of here with a peace of mind, give God some praise. That's the God of promises. That's the God of words with life and life abundantly. I put down right here. Here's another thing what happened into the church of Ephesus. They were getting deceived on this one. They were taking advantage of God's grace. They were having teachers go through Ephesus telling them, you're saved by God's grace. It gives you the green light to do whatever you want to do. I hear that all the time. Well, God knows my heart. Well, you better not want to know your heart if it's bad. They were walking through and they were telling the church of Ephesus, just, you know, God's grace is you could do whatever you want. No, the Bible does not teach that. Let me share with you what the Bible does teach in Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? Hold it right there in the back. Shall we go on just living like we used to live before we got saved? Listen to what he says. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Next verse. Listen to what he says. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So no. That's not what grace was meaning, to just do whatever you want. Grace is a gift that God has given us that we don't deserve when we do fall. When we do stumble, I want to encourage you. You might be at a place, go, Pastor Alden, I'm no good for God. No, you're nothing but good for God. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is a favor that most of us don't deserve. But when we still get up and we say, God, thank you for your mercy and your wonderful grace, God. I don't want to be that man or woman of God that takes advantage of a gift that you've given me, that if I do fall, I can still leave here knowing that you love me, knowing that you can heal me, knowing that you can still give me peace, knowing that you can still, God, break the bondages of sin in my life. That's God's favorable grace, not what the Ephesians were hearing. Listen to this verse, John 6:63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, listen to what he says. They are full of the Spirit and life. Amen. That amazingness. Jesus is, he's making it clear to all of us. Don't be deceived by empty words and promises. But be conformed and transformed to what I'm telling you. I'm the one that will give you life. I'm the one that has a purpose and a plan for your life when you trust in me. Do we understand what Paul's speaking now? Some of us right now are being like, oh man, I'm getting deceived. I'm getting deceived in a place where, you know what, I got to cut some people off. I don't believe them no more. It's okay. It's okay to come to a place to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to love them from a distance and I'm going to pray for them because I feel in my own heart that I've been getting deceived. So now we're going to go to the next verse, Ephesians 5:7. Listen to this. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So he goes on to say, I'll just read Ephesians 5:6. They don't need to put it up. He goes, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, he even makes it clear on this one, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient, who are acting like that. I don't want you no part of it. Then he goes on to say this in Ephesians 5:7. Therefore, do not be partners with them, he's saying. You know what he's saying? He's saying this: do not do life with people that want to deceive you. Paul's making it very clear. He's saying, you don't have to do life with them. Everyone don't need to be into your circle. Does it mean we don't want the lost to get saved? Absolutely. That's a commandment from the Lord. We want lost people to get saved. We want our loved ones to get saved. But he's saying right here to them, you don't have to partner with everybody. If you're being deceived, if empty words are coming out, if they're consistently empty words, words of with no meaning, words with no purpose, words with no foundation, words with no life, please don't be deceived. Don't allow that into your life. Paul's making that so crystal clear. It's like this. Why would we want to put ourselves in a place? Because sometimes what happens, we grow up being conformed to this world, most of us. We still have those same habits today as believers. And what happens to us? We lose our trust in God. We lose our confidence in God, because what takes place is this. We get scared to walk away from some things in our life. We just do. I remember when I got, I don't know about you, but when I got born again, and we didn't have the luxury of cell phones all the time and all, like, but in Instagram. But man, I was like, I didn't want to have no, all I wanted was a peace of mind. I wanted nothing else. I didn't need to hear nobody telling me no more that I was a zero. I didn't need no one else blaming everything on me. I just wanted the promises of God. And when you walk into here saying, God, that's what I want, I promise you right now, the Bible says, when you draw near to him, he will draw near to you, and he will answer those prayers. That's the God we serve. Look, now listen, now we're going to go to Ephesians 5:8. We're moving on. Paul is speaking. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Listen to what he says. Live as children of the light. Ain't that beautiful? He's not just taking us out of darkness to stay in darkness. No. He's saying now you are children of the light. Let's look at Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Let's look at this Bible verse. Here's how we stay the light. Do not be what? Conformed to what? This world. What's in this world? Empty promises. Empty words. There's all kinds. This world will tell you completely the opposite from what to live without God. It doesn't care. He says, but you can't be conformed to it. But he gives us an instruction right here. Here it is. But be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. Be transformed of the way you think, of the way you respond, of the way you talk, of the way you act. But he's giving you instruction. You got to be transformed from it. And he goes on to say this, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So when we read that verse, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of the light. He's making it clear. Just, you got to walk away from some of these worldly things. Some of these things that are removing the fruit from your life to be an example for Jesus. I don't know if you noticed, maybe you just got saved, or maybe you have not given your life to Jesus. Jesus uses people. We are to be representatives for Jesus. When we walk into our homes, to our schools, to our workplace, to the coffee shop, God is hoping and praying that people see his son Jesus in us. He really is. But Pastor Al, you mean he's not about me no more? No, but hold up. But when you give it all to him, you'll be surprised what he'll give to you. He'll give you that peace of mind. He'll give you that hope and that joy. He will bless you. He will give you favor. And it ain't like, I'm just giving up everything. And like, no. Because see, we were so conformed to the things of the world that we thought that was the right way of living. We thought that was normal. We just thought it was normal. I remember going to school and they have all these kids had nice clothes, and I look back like, man, were we poor? I didn't even know were we poor or not. I just thought it was normal. I didn't know what was going on in my life. And sometimes we still come to Christ, and if we're not being connected to him, we ain't gonna know these promises. We're not going to know what God wants to do in our life. Let's look at Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the light, I love this, it consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I love that Bible. He says, for the fruit of the light that is in all of us today, when we draw near to God, when we allow God to live inside of us, guess what comes with it? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Listen to this. I love this Bible verse right here. Look at this next verse, please. And find out what pleases the Lord. He's telling us today, there's many things. I put a few things here that pleases God. And my first verse I want us to look at is, and this is Hebrews 11:6. Listen to this. And without what? Faith. It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those that seek him. Just keep that verse there. Without faith. So what's he saying? Faith will please God. What is faith? Trusting in him. Trusting in God when you get that bad doctor's report that he's still Jehovah Jireh in my life. Trusting in God when those prodigal kids are out there and you're on your knees and praying, and God says, I see that. You're pleasing me because you're trusting me with those children. When that marriage is on the rocks and it's horrible, but you're saying, God, I pray. I'm not giving up. God, I'm praying and I'm seeking your Lord. When the boss says you're laid off and there's no more work and you have no money, but you just say, you know what, I'm going to keep seeking you. I'm going to keep trusting you. That pleases the Lord because you're putting your faith and your trust in him. And he says that without it, you don't please the Lord. And I love this word seek. It means to search, to desire. The Bible, there's a verse that says faith without works is dead. It says you believe, but you have no deeds. It doesn't say we're saved by it, but if you believe in a God, if you believe in that this is really an altar, guess what? You can come up here when we're doing worship and say, God, set me free because I believe in you can. God, heal me because I know you can. Amen. He said, faith, you can't just sit, all right, God, we'll just see how it goes. No, he's saying, you draw them near, and I promise you, I will draw near to you. He's saying, when the preacher is speaking or whoever's up here ministering, he goes, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When God out of nowhere just speaks to you, you go, that was for me. God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. God, I'm going to find that verse. I'm going to quote that verse, and that verse is mine. Give God some praise. That's the God that we're talking about in this Bible. I'm going to call the worship team back out. Listen to this. Obeying God pleases him. Don't you want to please your father? I mean, I didn't want to please my daddy when he raised me. But now I want my grandkids. I want to bless my grand. I'm about to have 8 of them. Got my daughters and my sons. And you know what? I want to bless them. But let me tell you, if they're not obeying Papa, I don't want to bless them. We have to come and understand. And I've said this before. I'm sorry if you've never had a father and you don't know what a father looks like. But it has to come to a place where you trust in Jesus and our Heavenly Father in heaven that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, that he will love you unconditionally when you come to him. I've said this many before. He ain't a deadbeat daddy. I promise you that right now. He's a God that will always be there on the midnight hour when you're crying out to the Lord. Doing God's will, it pleases God. Giving, that's just money yourself, pleases God. That's the God we serve. I'm going to close right now with this Bible verse, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to pray out. We're going to give everybody, here it is. I love what Ali was talking about worship. We have an opportunity right now. We're coming into 2020. Go ahead, John. We're coming into 2024. We have an opportunity right now when they start worshiping and leading us into a place of connecting to God. Leading us into a place of saying, okay, God, I heard what Pastor Al said. He says you're a God that can heal my mind. He said that you're a God that can heal my body. God, you know what? I'm going to make that. You know what, God? If they give me an opportunity, then that's the altar. I'm going to be at that altar praising you, Lord. God, I'm going to raise my hands and I'm going to surrender all. God, I can't walk out of here hopeless like I am. God will heal you. You got to trust in him. Let's look at Luke 23 through 39. Listen to this. 23, 39 through 43. Now, this is Jesus. I want you to picture Jesus. He's on the cross. He's about to go I was imagining, how is he feeling on that cross? He just went on the journey, walking with it, getting beat, getting spit on, and now he's hanging there. Man, if it was me, I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to answer questions, but listen to our Savior. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't. You fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he did nothing wrong. God, let me stare. Get that in your mind, 2024. Jesus done nothing wrong. He went to the cross for us. He got spit on and humiliated and beat and shed. I don't know if you noticed, the Father had to turn his head because he bared all of our drunkenness, hatred, anger, strife and pride and emptiness and pain and anxiety and depression. And he took it on the cross. And that man said, he's a man. He didn't do anything. And at one point, Jesus didn't even want it. His flesh was like, no, I don't want to go to the cross. Pass this cup. But he said, Father, it's not my will. It's your will be done. Then listen to what Jesus said. Go back one verse, please. Go back a verse. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man had done nothing wrong. Next verse. Then he said, Jesus. This guy's crying. He's on a cross. He's all, Jesus. Now here's God's undeserving grace. Jesus, remember me when you come into the kingdom. Next verse. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be in paradise with me. The guy didn't even go to a church service. Probably never been to a Bible study. But he said, receive me. So right now, we ain't just going to sing. We're going to worship the Lord. It's up to you where you want God to take you this new year. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to give God a worship right now.
Striving has to cease. In this moment, you're still the key. This is the gift you are giving to me. A sound mind full of spirit of fear. A sound mind so that I can see clearly. A sound mind, your spirit is here. A sound mind, a sound mind. There's a table where we meet in the presence of my enemies. I will listen and I will feast on every word you are speaking to me. I remember who you are. You are my fortress and my God. I will stand in authority. Jesus' name, all the darkness will flee. A sound mind for the spirit of fear. A sound mind so that I can see clearly. A sound mind, your spirit is here. A sound mind, a sound mind. A sound mind for the spirit of fear. A sound mind so that I can see clearly. A sound mind, your spirit is here. A sound mind, a sound mind, yes, Jesus. Come on. Come on, we declare this tonight. You saved, healed, delivered me. Jesus' blood wash over me. Command my soul awake, arise. Use his breath to prophesy. I prophesy. You saved, healed, delivered me. Jesus' blood wash over me. Command my soul awake, arise. Use his breath to prophesy. I prophesy. One more time, come on. You say, heal, deliver me. Jesus' blood, show me me. Command my soul awake, arise. Use his breath to prophesy. I prophesy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never said, God, I've never surrendered. Right where you're at, you just say, Lord Jesus. You raise your hand and you say, Lord Jesus, you're coming to my life. You be my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins and I ask you to forgive me. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit, fill them right now. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for everybody right now. As we depart and we get back into to not making it normal, God. Let life just don't be normal. Let us seek you. Let us trust you. Let us leave here with more faith, God, of what you can do. We thank you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, give God some praise. We love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.